Hello and welcome to Making Media Now, the Filmmakers Collaborative Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Azevedo. Joining me on this episode is Charlie Sadoff, the director of a documentary called Against All Enemies, which explores the critical role of military veterans in domestic violent extremist groups. Through gripping personal perspectives from all sides of this ongoing crisis, Against All Enemies goes deep inside the violent extremist movement in America, alongside the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters, and with never-before-seen footage of the Oath Keepers. These groups, organized and led by highly trained military veterans, pose one of the greatest threats to the United States today. While most veterans are successful in their transition to civilian life, an increasingly radicalized element is drawn to the insurrectionist movement. The film explores the historical roots of the insurrectionist cause, its conspiracy-fueled draw for today's veterans, and the ways that powerful politicians like Donald Trump and highly decorated former military officers like former General Michael Flynn employ disinformation to manipulate these former vets. Here's the film's trailer.
There are places in our military where we are trained to start and fuel insurgency.
That's the same kind of they've been doing their whole career. Now they're doing it here inside the United States.
Anybody who says that this can't happen in a worse way, either they're ignorant or they're part of the problem.
Today, domestic terrorism is the greatest terrorist threat facing the United States.
The CIA has this tool where they measure levels of insurgency, and if you just apply the tool to the U.S., we are in an incipient insurgency.
If you want your house back, take it!
How did I end up on one side of that door, and my fellow veterans, how did they end up on the other side of that door?
If you believe the country's under attack, you have a certain set of skills, you're a force multiplier.
They're coming.
It's going to end up the people versus the government.
If you're armed, then you're prepared to defend your family. And if you're not armed, you're dog meat.
When you can convince people that their leaders are not valid, then you give them the excuse to overthrow that leadership.
And that's not new. The issue is that the people that we are identifying as extremists, they're identifying as patriots or freedom fighters. It almost sounds like I'm talking about terrorism right now.
Everyone becomes more violent in the aftermath of warfare. What we don't know is what happens when we're talking about a 20-year war.
I hope that people are f***ing scared, because being scared motivates people.
This is how countries fall apart.
Oh my God!
I could see a civil war.
And this fight that's far from over, and it may never be over.
I, standing with Lisa Fawn,
do solemnly swear
to support the Constitution of the United States
against all enemies,
foreign and domestic.
So help me God.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Against All Enemies, which is now available streaming and on demand, premiered at the 22nd Annual Tribeca Film Festival in June of 2023. Its executive producer is New York Times bestselling author and documentary filmmaker Sebastian Younger. Charlie Sadoff is a producer, director, and editor. Documentaries he's produced include The Mind of Mark DeVriest, which aired on Showtime, Dream Riders for Discovery, and the 10-part series The Rights of Autumn for ESPN. Making Media Now is sponsored by Filmmakers Collaborative, a nonprofit organization dedicated to supporting media makers from across the creative spectrum. From providing fiscal sponsorship to presenting an array of informative and educational programs, Filmmakers Collaborative supports creatives at every step in their journey. To learn more, visit filmmakerscollab.org. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please do follow, like, and share. Now on to my conversation with Charlie Sadoff. Hello, Charlie Sadoff. Welcome to Making Media Now.
Great to be here. Thanks, Michael.
And also congratulations on the initial success, at least, that your film is being met with. I was looking at the documentary movie charts on iTunes, and you're sitting there at number one right now. Of course, the film we're talking about is Against All Enemies. Tell me about how this story came to you, and or how you sought this story out, and what about it felt so urgent.
The producer of the film, Ken Harbaugh, who was also one of the writers, is a Navy veteran, someone that I've worked with in the past on different projects. And after January 6th, he came to me because he was alarmed at how many veterans were part of the insurrection. And he wanted to find out what was going on. Why was that the case? Why was that happening? Why had that happened? And I was drawn to the story, one, because I'd done work with veterans before and I'd worked with Ken before, but also this idea that U.S. military veterans who are part of the greatest fighting force in the history of the world are using the training that they've gotten and turning that against the United States. And that to me seemed like a really dangerous and interesting subject to explore. And right. So that's why we decided to do this. And in trying to answer some of those initial questions, we just were led to different and other questions that sort of weave us through the film, which mm-hmm. made it a fun project to work on in that regard.
So, of course, you mentioned January 6th, the attack on the Capitol. And according to research conducted by NPR, 1 in 5 of the defendants who were arrested for involvement in January 6th were members of the military, former members of the military. That's 20%. That's a pretty high percentage. And your film is populated with veterans of all sort. You've got Seth Moulton, a veteran. You've got Jason Crow, a veteran. Obviously, you've got Stanley McChrystal, a noted and decorated veteran. You also speak with veterans who were aligned with this feeling that they needed to take up arms potentially against their country. Your film begins with our visit to Texas, where we meet a guy who calls himself General E. I'm curious, how'd you get to know this guy? Tell us a little bit about him. And I'm also really curious, what level of skepticism does a documentary filmmaker meet when you show up to talk to a guy like General E?
Well, I'll start there at the end. When we literally showed up on his property, he lives in a big property in Southern Texas, and he waves us in. And so we go through the gate and we drive up and we meet him. And he told us, you know, he said to me, you know, it's a good thing you waited for me to wave you in before you came down, because if you just came on my property without me knowing who you were, I might've had to shoot you. So that was my first introduction to him in person. I had two great associate producers, Sam Hartson and Olia Fadoon, who through their news gathering organization had been following groups like the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters for a number of years at 2A rallies and other various protests and other places. So they actually knew a lot of these people, including General E, and introduced me to him. We met over text, and then we told him what we were doing. You know, we didn't try and hide the fact that we were making a film about what went on January 6th, the history of it, and where it could potentially lead, but told him we wanted to hear the side of people like him who thought that the people who stormed the Capitol were, in fact, patriots. And so we were able to meet with him, and I have to say he's a compelling figure. He's a really charismatic guy, a great storyteller, and I mean, it sounds funny, but I actually enjoyed sitting and talking to him. Even though I disagreed almost entirely with everything he had to say, I could understand where his mind was, and felt like kind of like, okay, I can see where this guy is coming from. And it's a shame that these are the things he believes, because I'd rather have him on the other side of this argument.
You know, him and his ilk who feel the same way, think the same way. Did you get a sense as to, was there a particular trigger point for them that made them say, I am, regardless of the vow that I took to uphold and serve the Constitution and protect my country, I'm going to toss that all over. Was there a particular historical event in the last 10, 20 years or so that made them feel so drastically differently about the oath that they took and the service that they were engaged to perform?
I would think for General E, it's a couple of things. One, it's immigration. He lives in Texas, so immigration is a big issue for him, and he feels like the government is letting people into the country who shouldn't be here. And also the election. I mean, he is 100% convinced that Joe Biden was not duly elected. And if you're convinced of that, and you're someone who has sworn an oath to the Constitution, in a perverted way, you're sort of doing your duty by trying to by overthrow of the election, because you don't think that he's the duly elected president. But we get into this a little bit on a sort of more macro level about not just General E and Randy Island from the Proud Boys who we meet, but there's sort of a history of these groups going back to the KKK who recruit people into their movements, not just based on this idea of white power, which is something I think that unifies all of them, but on whatever it is, whatever grievance narrative they can come up with that is most effective in that time and place. So for the KKK, originally it was blatant racism, trying to keep black people from having any kind of power in the United States. But eventually that moved on to Catholics and Jews and immigrants, depending on where you lived. And now we have what Ali Soufan in the film calls sort of a salad bar of ideologies or grievance narratives you can dip into. So if it's grooming by LGBTQ, or BLM is trying to take over the country, or Jews, I mean, this is one that's gone back for a number of decades, the idea that Jews run the world and this cabal is, war is good for bankers, and therefore Jews who run all the banks make sure that we're constantly in war, and that's why you're all fighting in a war that we shouldn't be fighting in. So there's all kinds of things. In fact, I was just talking to someone who talked about how in Comic-Con, they're recruiting people based on the idea that women are coming in and taking over and trying to feminize the video game industry. So there can be any number of things that they draw on, but eventually they're moved towards this idea of white power, which is the unifying theme for all the groups going back as far as the KKK.
Did you notice any differentiation between former military who saw combat and former military who did not see combat, and how susceptible to this type of manipulation they may or may not be?
That's a great question. My impression is that soldiers, airmen, everyone who served overseas and fought is less likely to become part of this. But at the same time, you know, we're with the Oath Keepers in Louisville following the Breonna Taylor marches, and they're up on the roof, and there are special forces guys there who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. And those special forces guys, we talk about how it only takes a few of them to make these groups really dangerous, because they're what are referred to as force multipliers. Mm-hmm. But to your point, we have another people in the film who talk about groups like the Patriot Front, which are made up of a younger generation who never really got to see combat. And so for whom these right-wing, these violent militias here in the States offer them the opportunity to have control and to fight that they never got in the military. And that's a dangerous mix there.
I think it goes without saying that these individuals represent a fraction of the veterans that live among us, the veterans that served nobly and served at great sacrifice to themselves.
Yes, of course.
That said, I'm curious, I know that your film has been out in the world for a while. It's been available to rent just for a few weeks. Have you encountered any voices that have said, you know what, I think you're overreacting, you're taking a fringe element and you're giving them way too much oxygen? Have you encountered any type of pushback to your film's thesis?
Not so much. And that could be, just because of who's seeing the film so far. But I have gotten criticism for platforming some of these people and giving them a voice that some people don't think that they've earned or deserve. And I guess that's a fair criticism, but I think for anyone who sees the movie, they'll understand that we try and put those points of view into context and show where they sit in what at least I regard as a factual, truth-based world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a couple minutes ago sort of this grab bag of grievances that, you know, the purveyors of these grievances, the manipulators of these crowds throw out. And, you know, I'm wondering if in your conversations, the irony, I guess, of the fact that, you know, you're the stalwarts of conservative right-wing media, whether it's Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson or Alex Jones or whatever, they're not a veteran among them. And the head cheerleader, Donald Trump, Mr. Bonespurs, who, according to reports, got his dad to pay off a doctor to say that he had bone spurs so he could sit out Vietnam, and who Donald Trump, who retired Marine General John Kelly, Trump's former chief of staff, calls a person who didn't want to be seen in the presence of military amputees because it didn't look good for him, and a person who demonstrated open contempt for Gold Star families and called those who gave their lives suckers and losers. You've got the didn't serve but happy to manipulate. And then at the top of that chart, not just didn't serve, but derided those who did. How does that cognitive dissonance get accepted by those within these movements?
It's a really good question. I think part of it is that you mentioned the people who didn't serve, but there are a number of people who are part of these movements who did, mm-hmm. and at very high levels. And I mentioned, you know, Michael Flynn as an example. He's a former general.
Exactly. You can almost see somebody falling in line behind Flynn much more readily than behind Trump. I mean, yep. Trump is a guy that spends more time on hair and makeup than these guys spend cleaning their guns.
Yeah, but Flynn is an active spokesman for Trump. And so he gives him credibility. And so, you know, if former general Michael Flynn is supporting Donald Trump, then it's okay for me to do the same thing, because Michael Flynn is someone that a lot of people really admire who served in the military. And he, for a long time, he was someone who was very well regarded on all sides. In fact, we have a scene when he's being promoted during the Obama administration where Leon Panetta refers to him as someone who has the greatest knowledge of the 21st century battlefield of anyone he knows. And that's what makes him particularly dangerous, because the 21st century battlefield is online. Right. And Michael Flynn is a master in that world. And so when someone like him or J.D. Vance, who's a former Marine, endorses Trump, or Eric Greitens, who was a former Navy SEAL, these people give cover for the likes of Trump or Josh Hawley or these other folks who never served, and in Trump's case, sort of deride service. I can't get in fully into the psychology of how a veteran would want to support Trump based on everything he said and done, but clearly they do. And I think a lot of it has to do with people like Flynn and J.D. Vance, who prop him up and or will support him themselves.
You know, as important as the story of the generalese of your film is to make known to listeners, I also want to spend a little bit of time talking about Chris Goldsmith and his journey and how it turned out a bit differently.
Chris is, for lack of a term, one of the stars of the film. I think what we tried to do was sort of line his story up with General E's, because Chris could have ended up in the same place that General E did. But Chris is someone who fought in Iraq and Afghanistan, came back, was very disillusioned, suffered from PTSD, was very compelled by various conspiracy theories and propaganda on the internet, but was able to break out of it because he actually, and he talks about this, I don't want to give away too much in the film, but he wasn't insulated in these information bubbles that people like General E are living inside of. And when you live inside of those bubbles, it's very easy to stay in there and never see a different point of view. And Chris is someone who was able to break out. But as we point out in the film, those off ramps that Chris had don't really exist as much anymore. And that's a real problem.
What do you know about what's happening among retired military who want to be the vocal counterpoint to the Michael Flynns? They want to get a platform as large as his, perhaps, and to, you know, to point out the anti-American actions and aspects of this movement.
I mean, I think you see some of that. Even, you know, you have people like General Milley, and you mentioned John Kelly, who are speaking out against Trump and the administration that he led. But they're just not as good at it as Michael Flynn is. I mean, he is someone who like understands how to get people to, as Stanley McChrystal says in the film, you get people to you when you served in the military and you're someone like General Flynn, you understand how to get people to do things that they might not otherwise have done. And he's better at it than people on the other side are, and he's more committed to it. And also, I think there's a reticence amongst people like Stan McChrystal and other former high-ranking military that you cited to be overtly political. And because Michael Flynn is so political himself now, they naturally have to get into that world in order to condemn what he and others are doing. And they're reticent to do that because they don't want to be political.
Do you think that will stay the case as we get closer to November?
I mean, there might be, it's impossible for me to say. I would hope there would be some people who would come out, but if they haven't now, what's going to change going forward in the next, 6-7 months? I don't know.
Well, along those lines, I know that your film and your team are making a special effort to make sure that veterans see this film. Talk a little bit about that, please.
We've partnered with a nonprofit called Veterans Fighting Fascism. People who go to our website, againstallenemiesfilm.com, can make a donation to that nonprofit, and that allows veterans to see the film for free, either in theaters or online. We're going to have a screening for veterans in Oklahoma City on the anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing later this month, which will be free for all the veterans who attend. We had a screening in New York that was free for veterans, and we have an online platform that veterans can see the film for free through this program that we started. So I would encourage people to go to againstallenemiesfilm.com and make a donation if they're able.
Well, Charlie, I know you've got some time constraints, but I want to thank you for taking the time to talk about this really important film. I can't encourage people strongly enough to rent it and to view it. I've been talking to one of the producers and the director of the film, Charlie Sadoff. Thank you for your time, sir.
Michael, thanks so much for having me.